for purposes of the talk today, my definition of a farmscape is a juxtaposition of different agricultural crops that are planted in a specific area. As a bit of background here, stink bugs have very recently, say within the past 15 years, become a critical pest of cotton production in the southeast. There's a variety of reasons for that. We could probably spend an entire topic on that, but certainly the way that we grow cotton in the last 15 years has changed a great deal. Transgenic cultivars probably have some play in on that. Unfortunately, transgenic cultivars have no suppressing whatsoever of either immature or adult stink bugs, so that's not a very effective technology in the case of mitigating stink bug populations. Their populations are highly aggregated, so the difficulty we run into is that scouts have a lot of field area to cover, but since the damage and the populations are highly aggregated, you have to take a lot of samples, and the sampling can be very time intensive, so it's forcing our scouts to make a decision between am I sure that there's nothing here, or do I have to just say, well, I've covered it fairly well in the time that I have, and I'm hoping that I didn't miss anything. In terms of the biology of the insect, the adults overwinter and they start feeding early in the spring. Stink bugs by nature are seed feeders, so they're going to be looking for weeds, forbs, and early planted vegetables that are producing seeds in the farmscape. Those populations continue to increase in these early weeds, some early maturing crops, and then eventually they move into our later maturing crops like cotton, which is producing fruit for about 8 weeks in the southeastern system, and in that case we've got some pretty serious damage. The slide that I've got here, the wart, let me get our pointer. This is actually the damage we talk about. So when I say we sampled bulls for damage, what we're doing is we're collecting quarter-size soft bulls and we're looking for the presence of the wart or the presence of lint staining, which is a quality factor. And that's the primary way that we're doing our sampling. Stink bugs are also responsible for transmitting bull rot pathogens, and of course that reduces fiber quality. Before we started the study I'm going to spend a little bit more time on today, I just want to give you a brief overview. In a much larger field, we did some studies last year, and we looked at distribution of damage in a commercial field. 25 acres is pretty standard. This is a 26-acre field in southern Georgia. And you see that early in the season, all blue, that corresponds with no damage, up to the red, which would be 50% damage. And these are groups of 20 bulls, one group of 20 bulls per acre across the entire field. Get to the midpoint of the season, you see that we've got three areas on the edges of the field where infestations are being developed, as well as an infestation in the middle. Late in the field, we've got heavy damage along this one border. So the questions that I pose in this project are, how are these adjacent crops influencing our stink bug damage, and how far into the field does that damage actually occur? The approach that we took in this particular experiment, anyway, was to look at developing cotton bulls, and these are those quarter-sized soft bulls that I talked about, 20 per sample, and we're looking at different distances from an adjacent planted crop. And so what I did was reserved 4 to 5 acre blocks of land on the experiment farm, and each of the crops in here is approximately an acre in size. It actually ended up being a minimum of an acre, around moved up to about an acre and a half. So we've got cotton here. It's bordered on one side by group 7 soybeans, bordered on this side by peanuts, and on this side by corn. I did go ahead and put the planting dates for the corn in here. In South Georgia, we tend to plant corn the second and third weeks of March, and that's out of there by mid-August. And that's important because the cotton is just starting to flower in that August time frame. So in terms of our sampling locations, we didn't sample right here on the edges because we didn't want to have any interactions with what would be on this side versus the soybeans. So our sampling is actually contained right in the middle of that acre field, right on the edge, and then at distances of 15, 30, 60, and in the middle of the field. And this is a randomized complete block over 2 years, and I'm going to just summarize the sampling data over the entire year. So obviously we've got samples on a weekly basis, but I'm just going to present means on that. So here's our internal bull damage. A couple of things that are relevant here. 2007 was a relatively low infestation. 2008 was a much higher infestation. You see that in the amounts of damage that we observed here. You see in this case the flatline damage is right about 20%, which interestingly is our threshold for treatment. In this case, our mean damage would be up here at about 50%, so much, much heavier infestations this year. I'd like to point out here, the round circles are the corn, and you can see that starting from the edges that are adjacent to the field, we've got really a flat curve that develops here. There's no differences in terms of increasing or decreasing damage in the cotton fields when it's planted adjacent to corn. In stark contrast to that, both peanuts and soybeans suffered considerably higher damage, 50% in this case, right along the edges, and then that dropped off fairly quickly in a fairly predictable manner. The thing that I thought was encouraging most about this data set was this is under light conditions. Under the heavy conditions, we see very similar results. It's just at a higher level of magnitude. Again, in the corn, we've got a flat response, no difference across the distance. This would be distance from the adjacent edge. In the case of peanuts and soybeans, very definitely, we've got a much higher infestation rate there along the edges. And again, this tends to decay at a predictable rate. We've got a little bit of bouncing around in here, and part of that's because in a 1 acre field, when it really gets infested, we had weeks in there where it was nearly 100% infestation across the entire field. Okay, to move from that, so we sampled across the year. The next thing we did was at the end of the year, the cotton was defoliated and we harvested it mechanically, and I harvested 100 linear feet from each of those treatment zones. And so what we see on this axis then is seed cotton yield. This would be pounds per plot. And same treatments again, you see the round circles, cotton yield is relatively flat with regards to corn when it's planted adjacent to it. In contrast, again, soybeans and peanuts, our yields are considerably lower on the edges and it increases as you go into the field. The green dot that we've got out there, that's the samples from right in the middle of the field. And so there's a statistical comparison in this particular study between these points. And in no case was there ever a statistical difference between the middle of the field and these points that are 50 foot in. 2008, we see a very similar type of situation. Lower yields, significantly lower right on the edges, increases in a fairly linear manner in this case. No difference between yield 50 foot into the field and completely from the middle of those fields. Okay, gin turnout is a parameter that we're able to measure after we harvested the seed cotton, and we've got a pilot scale gin, and we actually produce lint fiber from the seed cotton. So we're actually separating the seed from the fiber. Something I was not expecting to see in this study, and we clearly did, was that the amount of lint that we were able to get in proportion to the amount of seed cotton that we ran through the gin was significantly less from the cotton that was harvested along the edges than it was 20 foot into the plots. So you can see that there's a definite pattern that's developing here. Looking next at fiber quality, there are a variety of measures that we look at when we look at fiber quality, but what I'm going to point out here is something called fiber yellowness, and that is a measure of the lint staining that I showed on that earlier slide. And so the higher the values here, this is what we call the plus B in the grading process, the higher these values, the more yellow staining you've got in there, and that affects the ability of the textile to take up dye. So it's a quality factor that subtracts from the overall value of the crop. Here you see on the edges of the field, we've got much higher yellow values, and that tends to decrease in a linear trend toward the middle of the field. In this case, I've calculated the overall lint value, and it kind of goes without speaking. If you've got less seed cotton, you get less of it when you gin. It's got higher yellow values. Your overall lint values are going to be completely depressed along the edges versus farther into the fields. So from a pest management standpoint, I think there's a number of things that we need to discuss here. How can we really exploit these findings to improve our sampling programs, number one? And these data strongly suggest that those populations are related to the crop that's adjacent to it. And I think a lot of this has to do with the phenology of the crops as they're spaced out in that farmscape. Interestingly, in this case, corn did not affect our stink bug damage, yet we know that there were a lot of stink bugs in the corn. I didn't share a lot of the data from the adjacent crops, but we had lots of stink bugs in there. But the corn had dried down to a point where it was no longer attractive before the cotton was producing fruits, and so I think those bugs were flying across to the soybeans and peanuts. I think scouts can use this to their advantage and really target stink bug populations in space and more effectively utilize their time. So we're not going to be scouting the whole field, especially in a case where we don't have a history of stink bug damage. Let's focus on borders where we see this effect, and let's specifically look for borders where we know there could be problems with either peanuts or soybeans. And the last slide I'm going to show you here is really kind of pushing this a little bit farther, but how can we go ahead and exploit this in terms of management to the grower? Number one, how about some farmscape planning? Can we look at planting the crops in space so that we don't have these crops touching each other? And then furthermore, in cases where we can't avoid that, and certainly there are a number of situations like that, can we look at using infield border applications? And the example I've got here in the red area would be treating a 48-foot border, which is a 16 rows on a sprayer. It'd be one pass around with a typical sprayer in our area. And in that case, you're only using 18% of the active ingredient. If you want to use a 60-foot sprayer, which is a little bit larger, some of our larger growers, still less than a quarter the amount of AI, and that appears to be hitting the stink bugs that would be colonizing the field right at the beginning. The study was funded by Cotton Incorporated, and we also appreciate funding with the Special Grants Program. That concludes my presentation. If we have an opportunity for questions, one question, I'd be happy to take that.
You actually have 1 minute.
I have 1 minute. All right, we've got a little bit of extra time.
Okay.